John 21, you'll find that on page 1090, if you're using one of our church Bibles. Just to explain, some of you will know this, but not all of you will. On Sunday mornings, we've been pulling together from the pages of the New Testament a biography of the life of a man named Peter. Peter was one of the disciples. He started life as a fisherman, kind of got drawn in towards Jesus, and his life was just transformed as he grew to know what Jesus was like. And we've been walking something of that journey with him, and as we've seen what he grew to know about Jesus, actually I hope that we've grown to know those things too, been affirmed in those things. Now, I was beginning to panic because there are so many good Peter stories that we haven't got to. I was beginning to think, how are we going to do this? So what I've decided to do is that we're going to look at the end of John's Gospel today, and then maybe next year sometime we'll come back and look at the stories in the book of Acts to do with Peter and what he grew to know once the Lord Jesus had returned to heaven and what Jesus continued to teach him. So we'll maybe do that in the next year, but your enthusiasm kind of overwhelms me. So maybe we won't do that after all then. But we're in John 21 today. We're going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to focus our attention on verses 15 to 25. But let's read the whole thing. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, oh, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Earlier in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said to them, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals. There were fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Please sit down and open your Bible again, if you have one, to John chapter 21. John 21. And our particular attention this morning is going to be on the second half of that story, so from verse 15 and following. But with that open in front of us, let's pray and seek the Lord's help as we look at it together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we have just sung that you, Father, Son, and Spirit, are the one who shepherds us, who leads us, who feeds us. Father, we thank you that you have established your Son, Jesus, as the good shepherd. And Father, today we come as hungry sheep, seeking his leadership, seeking his challenge, his direction, seeking his love. We come this morning seeking food from him. And so, Father, please would you teach us, change us, push us, challenge us this morning with these words of Scripture. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here's a question for you. How do you show somebody that you love them? It's easy to say it, isn't it? Oh, I love you. But how do you show someone that you love them? Think perhaps of the people that are around you in your life. How do you express your love to them? How do you show it, display it to them? I guess it really depends on who we're talking about, doesn't it? So for some, it might be the hours of tireless care for elderly parents, those relentless hours of going in and helping. That's how you might express, you show somebody that you love them. And for some, it might be the generosity of your time and your money and your resources to help somebody near you who has a particular need. That's how you show that you love them. It might be just the tiny expressions of love, getting someone a gift you know they'll enjoy. It's a way that you show, you display that you love them. I guess there are many ways that we can show someone, display to someone, demonstrate to someone that we love them. I guess it's that kind of display on the outside of what you're really feeling on the inside. You know, it's a bit hidden from people, isn't it? You can say it, but how do you show it? How do you show someone that you love them? And for Peter, in our story this morning, he grows to know what it looks like to love the one, to show his love for the one who first loved him. If I could put it like this morning, he grows to know how he can show his love for Jesus. Not just say it, "Oh, Jesus, I love you," but he grows to know how he can show it. And friends, as we go on this journey with Peter this morning, I hope that what we will see today, hope that what we will encounter will actually push us and challenge us and kind of teach us how we show that we love Jesus, how we show that we truly love him. So come with me to verse 16. So Jesus asks this question three times, and we'll dig into that in a minute. But here it is, verse 16, right at the center. What does he say? "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" That's a question from Jesus. Now, just imagine for a moment that Jesus was standing before you this morning, and he was posing that question to you. Do you, personally, do you truly love me? Now, I hope this morning, given that most of us are in church, that majority of us in this room would want to say a big loud, "Yes, Jesus, we do love you. We gather, don't we, on a Sunday to sing it. We sing it in our songs. Jesus, we love you. We pray it. Jesus, we're so thankful for you. We love you, Jesus. Our hearts feel it. Now, why do we do that? Why do we sit here as a group of people who, if Jesus said to us, do you truly love me? And we would say, yes. We would say yes. And why would we do that? Because he first loved us. That's the answer to that question. That is why most of us sit here today as those who love Jesus, because he first demonstrated his love. And that's the backdrop to this story, to this question that Jesus asks Peter and in effect is asking us today, do you truly love me? The backdrop is first that Jesus has loved Peter. The backdrop is that Jesus has loved us. Jesus came into this world sent by the Father. He came into this world, walked the road to the cross, endured all that we deserved on the cross as people who have now put our faith in him. And he was raised from the grave. Why? So that we could be forgiven. He demonstrated his love among us. That's why we love him, because he first loved us. And actually, it's the backdrop to this story. So Jesus's love, even if you were to just drop into John 21, oozes out of this story. He's lovingly restoring Peter to his place, to being a forgiven disciple of the Lord Jesus. I don't know if you noticed this, but you've got this very deliberate Jesus asking this questions three times, which parallels Jesus denying Jesus three times. The stories just play themselves out, just if you didn't spot it. But Peter, where did he deny Jesus? Sitting around a fire. Where are they sitting here? Around a little fire on a beach. And Jesus lovingly gives Peter the chance to publicly confirm that he loves Jesus. To stand and express, no, look, I made a mistake, but Jesus, you loved me. You went to the cross for me, and Jesus, I love you. See, this story oozes Jesus' love. It oozes his restoration for people like us. Jesus has shown his great love for this world. And this story demonstrates to us that he shows his great love to Peter's, to people like us. We love because he first loved us. We feel perhaps an intense affection for Jesus, a love for Jesus because he first loved us. Do you truly love me? Jesus says. And we would say, yes, we do. And my hope is that perhaps if you're here this morning and you wouldn't as yet say, yes, I do, that you might come to know the love of Jesus, who first loved you, so that you might be drawn to be someone who loves him. But here's the thing that Jesus does in this story. You see, it's one thing to say it, isn't it? It's one thing to come into church on a Sunday and to stand in a room like this and say, Jesus, we love you. But what Jesus does here is to spell out how we show we love him. How do we demonstrate both to him and to the world that we love Jesus? Well, he spells it out for Peter here. You see, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it, but two simple ways that Jesus says, if you love me, this is how you'll show it. Here's the first. We will love his lambs. Now, I remember I had a friend once who was having a difficult time, and I offered to look after his child for him for the day. And at the end of the day, I took the child back, thankfully in one piece. This was before children, so I didn't really know what I was doing. And I'm not sure I still know what I'm doing, to be honest, but that's another story. And I said to my friend, you know, look, if there's any other way I can help you, please let me know. And what he said actually stuck with me. He said, look, by loving my son, you've showed that you love me. So by looking after something that was so precious to him for the day, I'd really, in effect, shown my love for him personally. And that's the idea behind what Jesus is saying to Peter in this story. So three times you get the question, Peter, do you love me? Three times Peter replies, yes, Lord, you know that I do. You know all things. You know what's going on inside me. You know I love you. But then three times in various forms, Jesus says, feed my lambs or take care of my sheep. You see, just look at the text, verse 15. What does Jesus say there? He says, feed my lambs. And then you see it again in verse 16. Jesus says, take care of my sheep. And then again at the end of verse 17, feed my sheep. Jesus is actually using shepherding imagery. Feed and take care of our shepherd words. That's what a shepherd would do for a field full of sheep. Now, earlier in John's gospel, Jesus had said to the disciples that he is the good shepherd who would lay down his life for his sheep. Why? To make people his sheep, to bring them into his sheepfold, to bring them under his shepherding. And Peter can show that he loves Jesus, the good shepherd, by loving those who Jesus has died for. You see, notice the language. Who does Jesus say these sheep belong to? He doesn't say they're Peter's sheep, does he? He says, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. The sheep belong to Jesus. They were purchased by his death on the cross. They were saved by the shedding of his blood. These are not Peter's sheep. These are not our sheep. They are Jesus's sheep. Now, sure, please don't get me wrong. To show our love for Jesus, we absolutely have to show love for the lost. You see, the story which we didn't look at this morning, the stuff about the fish, I think is about catching fish from the world. It's about evangelizing. Jesus is saying, no, you've got to have a deep love for the world. But actually, we mustn't miss here that we show our love for Jesus by loving his church, by loving his lambs, by loving his people. See, I don't, friends, you don't, first and foremost, show your love for Jesus by coming up here on a Sunday, rocking up and singing songs saying, I love you, Jesus. That's not first and foremost how we show Jesus we love him, although it's an important part of it. We show Jesus we love him by loving his people, by loving his church. Now, how do we do that? Well, we do it, I think, as you kind of unpick this shepherding imagery, I think there is both a spiritual and a practical dimension to this love. And Peter came to understand that to be a shepherd of God's flock was to care for them spiritually. It was to teach them Jesus. It was to help people to love and follow the chief shepherd, the one who loved us and laid down his life for us, protecting them from false shepherds, or as Jesus kind of graphically puts it, kind of wolves who've wrapped themselves up in sheep's clothing. And part of Peter's role, part of his shepherding role, was to care spiritually for Jesus' sheep, to make sure that they kept walking with Jesus. Friends, our role may be different to Peter's. In fact, it is different to Peter's. He had a very particular role. Our role may not even be in the sense that Peter goes on to talk about in one of his letters of leading a local church. But we love, as we love one another, as we show a deep concern for one another's spiritual life, one another's walk with the Lord Jesus, actually we show that we love Jesus. We are to love one another by caring for one another, by praying for one another. Do you know that every time you pray for me, and every time I pray for you, we say, Jesus, we love you. Did you know that? You show Jesus how much you love him when you pray for somebody else in the church. Every time you step out of your comfort zone to help somebody, or you go above and beyond to look after somebody in the church, to pray with them, to come alongside them because they're struggling spiritually, do you know what you're doing? You're saying to Jesus, I love you because I love your people. It's also, though, however, a very practical love. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus speaks, he tells a story of a king. Some of you will know this story. But really, he's the king in the story. And he, in effect, says, look, when I was hungry, you fed me. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And Jesus talks about times where he was clothed, when he was looked after, when he was sick, when he was visited, when he was in hospital. And on all these times, and the people that the king's talking to say, well, Jesus, when did we do those things for you? When did we show you those kind of help? And this is what the king replies in the story, who is Jesus? I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Friends, Jesus has so bound himself up with those that he has saved that when you love one another, you are actually showing your love for Jesus. And the love that we are to show for one another should be shaped by the kind of love that Jesus showed to us. Twice in John's Gospel, he says to his disciples, "Love one another as I have loved you." Friends, we show Jesus that we love him, not just by saying it, but by loving his church, by loving one another. "Do you truly love me?" Jesus says. "Then love my church. Love my bride. Love those for whom I laid down my life. In all the quirks that we have, in all the ways that we upset one another, in all those kind of things that go on in church life, how do we show Jesus we love him? By loving one another deeply, laying down our lives for one another, by sacrificing for one another, by defending one another. That's how we lay down, that's how we show Jesus that we love him. Costly, sacrificial, forgiving love for his people. We show Jesus we love him. Peter grew to know that he can express his love for Jesus by caring for those whom Jesus died for. Do you truly love me? Then love my church," Jesus would say to us this morning. The second thing is this, though. We show that we love Jesus not just by loving one another, but by showing loyalty to his leadership. The other day I had a meeting in East London. And I was trying to find where it was, and in the end I got a bit lost. And rather than getting out my phone and using the maps thing, I just asked someone nearby and said, "Hey, do you know where this place is?" And the person said, "Oh yeah, I'm going that way. Follow me." And now that's a bit of a brave thing to do, isn't it? But sure enough, I followed them down the road, and they took me to where I wanted to be. And twice in our story, Jesus says something similar to Peter. He says, "Follow me." Do you see that, verse 19? See, at the end of verse 19, he turns to Peter and he says, "Follow me." Now, at this point, he may have been literally saying, "Come follow me," and they're going to take a little walk down the beach. But actually, I think it's more than that. And again, verse 22, you see, as this debate unfolds about John, what does he say? "You must follow me." And this is what the kids have been doing at Connect this week. To follow someone means to let them take the lead. To follow someone means to move in the same direction as them as you walk behind them. That's what it means. Follow me. And as Jesus calls Peter to follow him, it is a call to let Jesus take the lead in life. It is actually a call to obey him. See, I don't know if lots of you will know John's Gospel quite well. But on many occasions in John's Gospel, Jesus connects obeying him, loyalty to what he says, to our love for him. How do you show that you love Jesus? It's one thing to come in here and sing it, but how do you show it? By obeying him, by following his leadership, and being absolutely loyal to his leadership. So look at verse 18 and 19. So this is what it means for Peter. This is what he grew to know on this morning. He says in verse 18, "I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." The loyalty that we're called to is a loyalty that is ready to lay down our lives to follow Jesus. It is a loyalty that Peter actually meant he physically will lay down his life for Jesus. And there's all sorts of kind of myths and stories around the way Peter died, and you may have heard all the kind of upside down cross stuff. We don't know whether that's true, but what we do know is that out of obedience to Jesus, Peter laid down his life for Jesus. And Peter showed how much he loved Jesus by dying for Jesus, by saying, "Jesus, you mean more to me than my own life. I'm willing to die because I want to follow you." Now, isn't that the love that Jesus first showed us? A love that is willing to lay down its life for people like us. That is the path that Jesus walked for you and for me. And that is the path that he calls us to walk, to show that we love him, to show that we love his leadership. You see, loyalty to Jesus is a life-giving loyalty. And friends, we might not here be called to lay down our life physically for the Lord Jesus, although some of you might be. But actually, we are called to lay down our life in order to follow him and obey him. These guys on camp this week, the kids, have heard those words. Tim read them to us earlier. But listen to them again. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, must take up their cross daily, and follow me. We show our love for Jesus every time it costs us something to obey him. If there's a friendship, perhaps, that you have to lay to one side because you just think this isn't right, this isn't fitting for following Jesus. Or if there are particular places that you should no longer be going, every time you walk away from those places, you're saying to Jesus, Jesus, I love you because I want to obey you. See, every time we deny self, every time we put aside our own comforts to obey Jesus, we are saying to Jesus, Jesus, yes, I do love you, and I want to show you I love you. We show love for Jesus by a life-giving loyalty. But we also show our love for Jesus by what I want to call blinkered loyalty. I'm going to need to explain what that means, but that might help. Blinkered loyalty. Here we go. Look at verse 20 to 23. And Peter turned round, so they're walking down the beach now, they've probably left the fire. Peter turned round and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You, Peter, must follow me. I don't know if you've ever seen a Shire horse. I can't say I'm an expert, but I do know that they wear those blinkers. They have these things strapped to the side of their head, and I presume, not being an expert, someone will correct me afterwards, I'm sure, but I'm sure that's to keep them from being distracted. Being distracted from what's going on around them and being pulled away in other directions, it's to keep them moving in the direction that they're meant to move. Now you see, here in our story, Peter gets distracted. He starts to look around him, and he starts to look at John and say, well, what's going to happen to John? And he starts being more concerned about John than about following Jesus. But Jesus says to him, Peter, don't worry about him. Just worry about your loyalty to me. Jesus says, as it were, to Peter, put your blinkers on. I've called you to follow me. And that'll take you in a certain direction, and you'll have to walk a certain path. But put your blinkers on so that you might follow me. You might be loyal to my leadership. See, friends, I think if you're anything like Peter, and I can identify with this, we are so distracted by each other, aren't we? But actually, when it comes to following Jesus, we're distracted by looking around. So it either works negatively, doesn't it? So we look at others. I'm sorry, I'm going to embarrass my children for a moment. But, you know, if you say in our house, right, we're going to clear the table, one of them starts helping, the others walk off. And the one who's helping is like, well, why aren't the others doing it? You know, it's not fair. And that's what we're like, isn't it? You see, when we're trying to be loyal to Jesus and we're busy looking around, we're like, well, why aren't they doing it? And we're so distracted by each other that we forget that actually what matters most is actually our obedience. It's not what each other's doing. Am I being loyal? So we're distracted negatively. But it also works the other way, doesn't it? When we see some people and we look at them, we think, oh man, they're so amazing at following Jesus. And I'm so rubbish. And you know, and then you all feel rubbish. And you then give up because you're like, well, there's no point in me doing this because I'm not as good as them. And we get distracted, don't we? But what would Jesus say to us? He says, friends, look, you show me you love me. Not when you're looking around at everyone else and seeing what they're doing, but when you put your blinkers on and you say, I want to be loyal to Jesus and I want to follow him and I want to do what he tells me to do. Wherever that takes me, whatever that path that makes me walk down, I want to be loyal to Jesus. Now, of course, that's coupled with loving people around you. It's not saying we can ignore one another. So I hope next week we don't all walk into church with blinkers on, like, I'm just looking at the front, nobody else. That's not what it means. But when it comes to serving Jesus, obeying Jesus, what matters most, how do you show Jesus you love him? When you've got blinkered obedience, not pulled away by what others are doing, but saying, it's Jesus I want to obey. It's Jesus I want to follow. It's Jesus I love. See, on that morning, on that beach, around that little fire, and then down this walk, Peter grew to know what it looks like to show that he loves Jesus. It's easy to say it, isn't it, friends? It's easy to gather in a room like this on a Sunday and say, Jesus, I love you. And we do love him, right? But how do we show it? Well, we show it by loving his people, and we show it by being loyal to his leadership, obeying him, even if it costs us our life, not being distracted by those around us. Jesus, I love you because I want to obey you. And friends, if that sounds like an impossible task, then let me finish by encouraging you with the fact that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will help you to do that. He helps us. This is the amazing thing. He asks us to love him, and then he helps us to love him. That's how kind he is to us. And so let's seek his help, shall we, as we seek to show, not just say, but to show that we love Jesus. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. God, our Father in heaven, we feel humbled afresh today by the love of Jesus, our Savior. Thank you that you so loved this world that you were willing to send Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins. Thank you that you so loved this world that Jesus would lay down his life for us to be his sheep. And Father, as we gaze afresh upon the love of Jesus for us, please would it turn us into a people who love him even more. And Father, please would you help us to be a group of people who don't just say that we love Jesus, but who show it by the way that we love one another and who show it by our loyalty to Jesus. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit who helps us to do what is not natural for us. And we praise you for him today. Thank you for every expression of love that there is in this church family. Father, thank you for every evidence of your grace as we have tasted of that love. And Father, we ask that we would be able to do more of it, more love for one another as an expression of our love for you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.